Everyone, welcome back to Speaking With. Welcome back to Speaking With Carl Thornton Jr. Glad that you are still with us. I want to let you know that as Arthur Andrews, Empowerment Speaker, and I continue to converse with one another, you probably note that sometimes the call may break up here and there. He is talking with us on his cell phone because the landline wasn't quite ready for us yet. And so he's on his cell phone. And so we do both want to apologize to you for those moments where he'll fade in, fade out because the call begins to break up a bit. But stay with us because you notice that fortunately the call isn't being dropped and he is able to keep on flowing. So stay with us. And that's it. I appreciate you too, Arthur, for staying with us, even though we are having that little bit of trouble. But that said, I want to go to something now that I think will be really just enlightening and encouraging for a lot of people. And that is give you the opportunity to give us a more in-depth introduction of Arthur Andrews as you take us back into time and talk with us about some of those periods of life that were particularly impactful for you and how some of those moments shaped you. And just walk us right up to where you were just a few minutes ago when you were sharing with us how you were stalking Les Brown to get into this field of empowering people.
Well, it all began when it came from dysfunction in the classroom. The teachers were complaining about my behavior. See, I believe that oftentimes when people, not people, but teachers, have children who have lots of energy. That's what I had. They didn't have terminology like ADD. Boy, you know, then you know, back in the hood, they say the boy is crazy.
Yep.
But I had an aunt, you know, she was like an adoptive mother, and she raised me in the spirit of Johann von Goethe. It says, treat a child the way he is, he only becomes worse, but treat him as if he were what he could be, and the child becomes what he should be. Mm. Well, she raised me like that. She said, you know, those people at that school think you're crazy, but you got good sense. And you're going to be something even if I have to kill you. And she said, look, if you're going to run your mouth, you might as well get paid for it. And I looked at her. What do you mean? And she told me about her sister who was a speaker. And she told me, you know, talk about self-fulfilling prophecy, Carl. She told me, you're going to be a great elocutionist. And I knew what you were talking about. So I could just look at me, man, you know. That was my sound, and she started me. That was my first motivational speech, you know. Can you still hear me?
Yeah. Now, we lost you about a second or two after you talked about becoming an elocutionist.
Oh, yes. I said that when people would ask me what I wanted when I grew up, I said a great executioner.
All right.
You can imagine the response that I got, you know. And, you know, one time they had a program at church and they asked me, and I said, a great execution. They said, oh, you'll be embarrassing me. I could not pronounce the word elocution. But as I grew up, she would put me in front of audiences, take me all around Brooklyn, New York. I grew up in a little town called Brooklyn. You may have heard of it.
Yes, sir.
A little section called Bed-Stuy, Do or Die.
Yes, sir. Heard of it.
But I survived that and went on to begin. And it wasn't until I got older that I began to look at this thing as a profession. And when I heard Les and heard the kind of money that they were paying speakers, it was just mind-boggling.
Yeah.
I said, I know I can do this. You know, at the risk of losing my family, my marriage, and everything, because my family thought I really needed to go see a psychologist.
Hmm.
Leaving his job to go there and do what? Who's going to listen to you? Who is going to listen to you, Arthur L. Andrews? Who do you think you are? But those are the times you have to wear it, man, in your spirit. You know, and that's why I said you got to be careful about sharing where you're going and what you're going to do. You know, people can call ahead.
Yes, sir.
You know.
And so you had your dream, you had your vision, you knew where you wanted to go. Your family wasn't on board with you. What were some of the keys to how you were able to still keep that relationship intact, even though you all were in two different places mentally with regards to what your destiny would be?
I don't know that I was really trying to keep it intact. I knew that I wanted to be around people like you, Carl, to encourage me. You know, you get beat down and you're criticized and you're ridiculed. You get tired. You're only human.
That's right.
You know, so you have to sometimes, you know, I have a saying. I say, I'd rather be alone than be in bad company.
Mm, I hear you.
I had to find people, not necessarily to be yes people, but to at least encourage me. And then I had to find some people of like precious faith, of the mindset, that were doing what I wanted to do, and you know, or someone who were experts to talk to them. And I discovered that there are many successful people who have their own story of how it was challenging, it was difficult, but I was still seeking the special sauce.
And so you never gave up.
Never. I read, look, man, I'll buy a book before I buy a sandwich.
Mm.
Reading, man, just reading, you know, a voracious reader, listening to tapes and especially even Tony Robbins. I listen to everybody, you know, until I finally got to a point where I had the audacity to stand before 5,000 people. And when I got up, my mind sat down, somewhat embarrassed. I was embarrassed, man.
I can imagine. Man. Was it the crowd? Was it the numbers of the people? Was it just the task itself?
It was just, I was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed. I called Les Brown, and he asked me to come out, and he said, "Are you hungry?" I said, "Yeah." And he threw me to the lions, and I folded. I spoke for 15 seconds, and if you know anything about public speaking, 15 seconds is a long time.
Man. Yes, sir.
I mean, that's a long time to just have dead air. I froze, man. And then that's why you always prepare yourself. Remember Abraham Lincoln said, if I have 8 hours to chop down a tree, I would spend 7.5 sharpening my axe.
Mm. So that when he starts chopping, he knows everything he needs, including his tools, will be ready.
It all came back to me. As I was standing there, that's just history. That's really how I got in connection with Les and began to formulate a relationship that would take me around the world.
That's amazing that he didn't give up on you. He invited you there because you were impacting his reputation by freezing, or had you done it well, you were impacting his reputation. You blew it, but he didn't give up on you.
That's right. Absolutely. You got it. And there's somebody somewhere waiting to help you. The world is not against you.
That's awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest. And can you all imagine Les Brown, the great Les Brown? His reputation is on the line here because he's the one who invited this man to speak to these people who came out for something. Arthur L. Andrews blew it, and yet Les Brown believed in him. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
And still does.
To this day. We'll be right back.
To this day.